Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
After an endless New England winter, the boys of summer finally return to Fenway Park this afternoon for the Red Sox home opener. The outfield isn't exactly the brilliant shade of green that fans envision at Fenway in April, but the infield is, thanks to the grounds crew that's been hard at work ahead of today's big game when the Red Sox take on the Brewers. Red Sox Chief Operating Officer Sam Kennedy says the grass grows greener with each day of the sunshine. He was in the stands at Fenway yesterday when we spoke with him and asked him about the green money, that is.
First and foremost, it's about fielding a team that's worthy of the fan support and competitive each and every year, because at the end of the day, that is our business, that's our product, that's what drives everything.
Well, it was a great product last year, won the World Series. How are ticket sales this year, given the fact that you're running through this year as the series champs?
Yeah, you know, you get a lag effect in professional sports. So this year, we are doing remarkably well. We're about 14-15% ahead of where we were last year, coming off of a bad season in 2012. But I do think we've gone through a sea change in how people buy tickets for live sporting events. While our ticket sales are up, there are still tickets available for April and May games, which is a unique thing. For a decade now, we've largely sold out just about every game at Fenway, and this year, even coming off of a World Series championship, there are select tickets available for games in April and May, which is a good thing. I mean, it's great to have people be able to come to Fenway who either haven't experienced it before or who haven't been able to afford tickets. We've lowered ticket prices for those games that are in less demand. We've got a $9 program now. The least expensive ticket in all of Fenway Park for students, any high school kid, any college kid, show your ID at the gate at Fenway, or go to redsox.com/student, and you'll find $9 standing room tickets. We got to make Fenway accessible to the next generation of fans, or we're going to be in trouble. So we're actually glad that we have availability. It's our job now to sell those tickets before the games happen over the next 2 months.
Well, I'm wondering how the program, the dynamic ticket pricing program, as it's called, is working this year with prices dependent on things like the opponent. I'm sure Yankees tickets, for example, cost more than other tickets, the time of year and the game. Are fans showing acceptance of this new model?
Well, they are, to the extent that we're up dramatically. You know, I mentioned 14.5-15%, but I don't think that's entirely attributable to the variable pricing model that we instituted this year. But I think it's just common sense that, you know, you price your inventory at a lower price point, your less demand games, and your high demand games you price at a higher price point. It's our job to try and price our market, our tickets, as close to the market clearing price as possible, and that's what we've done.
I want to ask about ad revenue in terms of ads that are placed around the ballpark. Of course, when you're in the ballpark, you can see the mini billboards or the paintings. If you're watching on TV, you can see them too. And this year, there's going to be an ad for the Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut on the Green Monster. What made you think that the Green Monster would be a good home for an ad like that?
Well, the Green Monster, dating back to the early part of the last century, has served as a great, unique element at Fenway Park, and it's also served as a backdrop for advertising. If you go back to the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, there's always been advertising on the Green Monster. Advertising in baseball has been a great source of revenue for ownership groups to use to invest in players, invest in fixing up ballparks, and we're no different.
I want to close by asking you about Fenway Park itself. Without a doubt, it's an integral part of Red Sox lore. And though the ownership, you and the ownership have been committed to preserving the park and to improving it, what happens when Fenway is no longer financially viable, when it's no longer big enough to make enough money for the Red Sox to be competitive with other teams who have bigger ballparks around the league?
I think the old adage, bigger isn't always better, applies here. I think we actually have a competitive advantage over other teams in baseball. Fenway is one of the most attended parks in baseball. We've got a wonderful tour business. Thanks to Mayor Walsh and the city of Boston, we're able to stage concerts, attract high-profile hockey events, soccer events. Now, I know the realities of life come along and things change, but we have been told by our engineers and our partners and contractors that Fenway is viable for at least another 30 years. I think with great ownership committed to reinvesting those revenues that we generate into the baseball operation, into the ballpark itself, we can preserve and protect Fenway for a long, long time.
Sam Kennedy, Chief Operating Officer of the Red Sox, thanks a lot for speaking with us, and go Sox on Fenway opening day.
Thank you very much, Bob. Good to be with you guys.